other topics that I've been asked or requested to talk about is the timeline of history. And a few years ago, I did do a study on the timeline of history. Today, I want to take another look at the timeline of history in the Bible. Be a little bit of a different angle than I did before a few years ago. A lot of it will be the same because it's the same Bible we're going to look at, of course. But I do want us to get savvy with the numbers in the scriptures to understand the dating of the creation, as well as a few of the main events that happened in history, and of course, leading up to the end of time, which a lot of us are very familiar with. And if you're not, listen carefully, because when we're done this study, you'll see where it all ends and the return of Jesus Christ and what year and month and even day that will happen. I want to open up in this timeline with Genesis chapter 5. And we want to define a few terms, and then we're going to do some math. So let's pay attention, and don't worry, I'll do the calculating, and Rebecca's going to do some calculating because I gave her my calculator, so she can punch the numbers in, and it will prove that it's very easy to do. She didn't know I was going to do this, so it wasn't like she was prepared. I haven't schooled her to be ready. I just sprung it on her this morning. So I'm going to prove to you that it's very easy to do, whether you're a mathematician or not. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 5 and pick up where God, of course, created all things and created the first man, Adam. And we're going to begin in Genesis 5, verse 3. And we're going to read the word here that Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. And he called his name Seth. So I want to reiterate the Quara Shem, which is the Hebrew for called his name. And that Hebrew term, Quara Shem, really means an immediate child of that person. I want to show you another verse that's used in the Bible that proves that in Genesis 21, verse 3. So I want to define that term first before we do math. And that is Genesis 21, 3. Abraham called the name of his son. There it is, Quara Shem again. He called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And we know Isaac was a direct son of Abraham. So when we see the word Quara Shem, or in the English translated, called his name, we do know that that's an immediate son of that person named. Now the other word we have to be familiar with is begat. And we saw that term not only in verse 3 of Genesis 5 about Adam, but we read also in Genesis 5, verse 32, Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And don't we know that Shem, Ham, and Japheth were the direct sons of Noah? They were, but the term here is used, begat. So the word begat can mean a direct son or child, an immediate son. Or the word begat can also mean a descendant from, which is maybe many lines of generation down. For instance, it could be a great-great-great-great-grandson of the person if the word begat is used. And I'll give you an example. In Genesis chapter 10, verse 21, we read there, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. So the next 10 verses in this chapter talk about all descendants of Shem after the flood. And they're not direct sons of his. But look what it says in verse 31 of the same chapter. These are the sons of Shem after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. And if you look at the 10 verses preceding that, there's a lot of names given of grandson, a great-grandson, a great-great-grandson, etc., etc. And it said there that though they were the children here that came from Shem, that were begotten of Shem. So that word begat can either mean an immediate father and son relationship, or it could mean a descendant from. Now the names listed in Genesis chapter 5, when we begin with creation, and chapter 11 of Genesis, are really generation markers. And what I mean by that, that's how we measure time. I know that because if I go to Matthew 24, verse 34, I'm going to ask the question, what generation are we living in today? Anybody know? What generation are we living in? Is it generation X? Christ. We're living in the generation of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew 24, verse 34. And there we read, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, if it was just the 20-year generation that sometimes we talk about in today's world, you know, you had the baby boom generation, you have Generation X, as it's called in our modern day. But here it says, Jesus said, this generation shall not pass. Now that means that all the people born from that time on, if they haven't seen the end of the world yet, it's part of the same generation. So we're living in the generation of Jesus Christ. He was the last generation marker given by God. When his generation is over, it means that that's the end of the world. There's no other human being that came that God uses as a generation marker to mark time. So we're currently living in the generation of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the very first man. What was the very first generation of humanity? Generation of? Adam. Very good. Adam. So then we go down a long list of people from that time. And then we're going to get dates that tie into our modern calendar. So then we can peg the creation date. We're going to be able to peg, of course, the flood. And we're going to be able to peg the end of the world as major pillars in this timeline of history. I'm going to chunk this into easily identifiable and understandable subsets. The first one is going to be 10. There's going to be 10 generations given, oddly enough, from creation all the way to the flood. And then from the flood, there are going to be 15 ages or generations given that are going to take us from the flood to the date in history that we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt it ties into our modern calendar. And that's going to be the death of Solomon and the division of the kingdom of Israel. I'm going to show you three different sources that we can rely upon that pegs that date in history, which allows us to build our calendar from the Bible. There are 15 generations or ages given from the flood all the way to Solomon's death. And like I said, there are 10 given from Adam to the flood. So let's begin and get Rebecca to get ready for that calculator there, because we're going to add some numbers together. You don't have to do it yourself unless you have a good math brain and you can do multiple digits at once. But here we're going to start with verse 3 of Genesis 5. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and he called his name Seth. God's telling us through this that the first generation was Adam, and the length of his generation, it wasn't his age for as long as he lived, but his generation was known for as long as he lived until he had Seth, and that was an immediate son. So the first number we're going to use, and Rebecca, you're going to plug into the calculator. Remember, there's 10 numbers. The first one is 130. Because Adam lived 130, and he begat a son. His name was Seth, and he called his name Seth, so we know Seth was born as an immediate son of Adam. So now the next generation marker in history is going to be his son Seth. So what we're going to do is go to verse 6 of Genesis 5 and read that Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Now, we only have the word begat. Do I know that that's a direct son? Or perhaps Enos was somebody who came later as maybe a great-great-great-grandson. Oh, I know from Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, that it was a direct son. Look at the verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. So there it is, Quarashem. He called his name. When we see that phrase in the Bible, it means it was a direct son. So we know that God in the very beginning is giving us the direct sons of these men who are generation markers, and then he's going to transition later on into the great-great-great-great-grandson idea when it's just someone in the line of that person. So how long did Seth live before he had Enos? Because now Enos is the third generation marker. Seth lived 105 years. So Rebecca, the next number you're going to add is 105. So we started with 130. Now we add in 105. So the third one is Enos. Go to verse 9 of Genesis 5. And we're going to read here that Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. Our language is now changing in chapter 5 of Genesis. And verse 11 says, and all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. Now here we know, because we do not see the term Quarashem, we now know that God is transitioning with the word begat into a later generation, a later descendant of, in this case, Enos. So it says here that Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. Would I put 90 down? No, I would not put 90, because Enos's generation was his whole lifespan. When he was 90, he had a child, but that child was also one that sired another child, eventually Canaan was born the year that Enos died. Now, what I can do for Enos, which is our third person, I got to put his whole age, his whole lifespan down in my calendar. So Enos is the third person, and the number there that I will add, Rebecca, is 905. 905 is my third number that I add in there. What happened? Enos died in verse 11, and Canaan lived, verse 12. So Canaan was born the year that Enos died. Now Canaan's the next generation marker. He's the fourth one in history. He's the fourth generation that God's going to use his lifespan as a marker in time. Canaan, in verse 12, lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. He didn't have Mahalalel as a direct son, but he begat. Notice Quarashem is missing. It wasn't a direct son. It's a descendant of his. So here we see that Canaan lived 70 years. He had a child. We don't know his name. Eventually, that child had another son. That son had another son. Eventually, Mahalalel was born. But how long did Canaan live? Verse 13. He lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. So now Canaan's life is 910 years. That's the number I'm going to use because God's using his generation as his whole lifespan. So Canaan, 910. So the fourth number, Rebecca, I'm going to add now is 910. Okay. Now, how about Mahalalel? We're going to go to verse 15. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 and he died. Once again, we're using the word begat. It's a descendant. It's not a direct son. God's using the whole lifespan of the individual to show time and to use him as a generation marker. So Mahalalel was, how long was his life on earth? You're close, Lester, 895 years. So Rebecca, the fifth number I'm going to add is 895. Okay? Now let's go to Jared in verse 18. In Jared, Jared was born the year that Mahalalel died. So now Jared's generation begins. And Jared, in verse 18, lived 162 years and begat Enoch. Again, he didn't call his name Enoch. It's not a direct son, but it is a descendant of his. Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And God does the math for us in verse 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. So Jared was the sixth generation in human history. And how long was his life? Carol, you're right, 962. 962. So that's the sixth number, Rebecca. I'm going to add 962. So Jared, after he died, we're going to go to verse 21. And Enoch was born the year Jared died. So now God's marking time with Enoch. It's his generation. And he lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. So how long was Enoch's life? 365. You're right, Mary. So that's the next number I'm going to put in there, Rebecca, is 365. That's the seventh number in the seventh generation of the history of mankind. Now, Methuselah was born the year that Enoch was taken away and from the earth. And that we see in verse 25, Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And verse 27, God does the math for us. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. As far as we know in the Bible, well, from the Bible, he's the oldest person that ever lived. We don't know if anybody else lived older, but he was a generation marker. We have his age. So Methuselah lived 969 years. That's the next. He was the seventh generation on the earth. So Rebecca, the eighth number I'm going to add is 969. Now let's go on in verse 28. Lamech was now born the year Methuselah died, and he lived 182 years and begat a son. And oh, look at verse 29. He called his name Noah. Now we're back to the Adam. And he begat Seth, but he called his name Seth. It was a direct son. And remember with Adam, we didn't put his whole life down. We just put 130 years until he had Seth. Because God was using these men as generation markers. So Lamech was the father of Noah. But he called his name Noah. So we know Lamech was the father. He was the dad. Noah was his direct son, an immediate son. So for Lamech, I'm not going to put his whole lifespan down. I'm only going to put down as long as he lived until he had Noah. Because Noah is going to be the next generation marker God's using. So for Lamech, I'm going to put how many years? 182. 182. So Rebecca, the ninth number is 182 that I'm adding to this long list. Now I said there are 10 ages given and lifespans generations until the flood. We have one more to go. And that's, of course, going to be Noah. So let's go to Genesis chapter 7, verse 6. When did the flood happen? And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. So if I want to find out how long in history man lived until the flood, how long was Noah's life when the flood came? 600, Dave, you're right. 600 years. So my final number, Rebecca, is add 600 now. So I now have a long list of 10 generations of people from the creation of Adam all the way to the flood of Noah's day. And Rebecca, if you add all 10, what's the result? Good. 6,023. Great. She did it right. See how easy that is? All she did was add them up on the calculator. 6,023 years passed from the creation of Adam until the flood was on the earth. Now, we at this point can't say when creation was started because we're not tying it into any history that we know from our current calendar. That's going to come later. So, Rebecca, just store that number in the first cell of the calculator and clear it. And then we're going to have the next 15 ages or time periods given. And from the flood all the way to a dot in history on the number line that we can say this was the year that this event happened. And that's going to be Solomon's death. So now let's go to Genesis chapter 11, which is the next chapter where we pick up. And see how neatly it's segmented into 10 ages from Adam to the flood. Now we're going to have 15 from the flood to Solomon's death. Genesis 11, verse 10 reads, "These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood." So take note of that. 2 years after the flood is when he begat Arphaxad. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. So this, again, is a descendant of Shem's. So for Shem, from the flood, now this is a little tricky in this one. How long did Shem live after the flood? Because now we're trying to pick up from the flood till Shem died, because Shem is the 11th generation given in the history of the world. We're going to call it the first one from the flood now. And Rebecca, you got zero on the calculator, right? Good. So now we're going to add these new 15 numbers. How many years did Shem live from the flood till he died? Anybody? It's a little tricky. Well, if he lived 500 years after he begat Arphaxad, how many years after the flood did he beget Arphaxad? Two. I got to add both. 502 is 502. So from the flood until Noah, from the flood until Shem died, the 11th generation of mankind, 502 years transpired. So Rebecca, our first number is going to be 502. Jim, where are you getting that? You're at our fact set. I'm just looking at Shem so far. Shem was the 11th generation, and 502 is the right number for him. Because when Shem died, Arphaxad was born. We're going to read in verse 12. And Arphaxad lived 35 years and begat Selah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Selah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. So how many years did Arphaxad live till he died? Now God's not doing the math for us to add up. He's got a little bit of a trick here. He's telling us how old the person was, in this case Arphaxad, until he begat a child who eventually, a great-great-great-grandson later, was going to be Selah. Selah was the person who was going to be born the year that Arphaxad died. So we got to do the math. Verse 12 and 13, you need to add to yourself. So what is, in verse 13 it said he lived 35 years, and verse 13 says Arphaxad lived 403. So if I add those two together, I get 438. So Arphaxad was 438 years old, and he died. So, Rebecca, the second number I'm going to add is 438. So Arphaxad dies, and Selah is born. Verse 14. And Selah lived 30 years and begat Eber. Notice he didn't call his name Eber. It's not a direct son of his. Eber is a descendant of Selah's who comes later on when he's going to die. Verse 15, Selah lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. So how old was Selah when he died? Anybody want to do that in their head? 433. Selah was 433 years old when he died. So that's my third number, Rebecca. Add 433 to the list. Now Eber was born the year Selah died. Verse 16, Eber lived 34 years and begat Peleg. And Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters. So how old was Eber when he died? I add those two because he lived 34 years and he begat Peleg. Another, he had a son who eventually became the great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of eventually Peleg. Because, and then he lived after he begat that son 430 years. If I add 430 and 34, I get 464. So the fourth number after the flood is Eber, 464, Rebecca. Now Peleg is born the year that Eber dies. So I go to Peleg in verse 18, and he lived 30 years and begat Reu. And Peleg lived after he begat Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. So how old was Peleg when he died? 239 years. That's how many years he lived. So Peleg is now our fifth generation from the flood. So Rebekah, 239 is what I add there. Notice lifespans are getting shorter all of a sudden. Now we're in the 200s. They were in the 400s. They were in the 800s earlier. The lifespan of man continues to decrease. Well, let's go look at Reu in verse 20. Reu lived 32 years and begat Serug. Remember, it's not Quarishem. He didn't call his name Serug. So it was not a direct son. It was someone who came later. And we know now from the way God wrote the Bible that that Serug was the son who was finally born, a great-great-great-grandson, the year that Peleg died. But we see here that Reu died. But Reu here in verse 20 lived 32 years, begat Serug, and then he lived, after he begat Serug in verse 21, 207 years. So 207 and 32 is another 239. So Reu, oddly enough, also lived 239 years, just like his great-great-great-grandfather Peleg. So Rebecca, the next number is 200, yes? You did? Okay, so here's where we are so far. 502 with Shem, plus 438 with Arphaxad, plus 433 with Selah, 464 with Eber, 239 for Peleg, and Reu also lived 239 years, and he died. So that's where we are so far. Look at Serug, Genesis 11, verse 22. Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. And Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years and begat sons and daughters. So if you're following, how old was Serug when he died? 230. Good, you're catching on. 230 is my next number, Rebecca. Now, who was born when Serug died? Who's the next generation God's going to use for his lifespan to mark time? Nahor. In verse 24, we read, Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 and begat sons and daughters. So Nahor was how old when he died? 148. Good. 148. So my next number, Rebecca, is 148. Now we're going to go to the next person that was born when Nahor died. Verse 26. Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. So far, we might think that Terah was like a great-great-great-grandfather of Abraham, because only the word begat is used. But look what happens here in verse 28. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. So now it's saying that Haran died before his father. In other words, his dad was Terah. So it is a direct son, these three sons of his. And it talks about here that, you know, then Abraham in verse 29 and Nahor took them wives. They were the two sons left of Haran. And it talked about Abram's wife being Sarah. So we're not quite sure here, how long am I going to use Terah as a generation marker? Well, we're going to find out that we're going to go as long as Terah lived until he had Abraham. Isn't that the pattern we've used? God uses the pattern when he does give a direct son. He gives the lifespan of the individual until he had the son, and then that new son was born. He becomes the next generation marker. So look at verse 32. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. I'm not going to use 205 for Terah, because was there a son born to Terah when he died? No. You're right, Marlena. No. What happened here was that when he died, his sons, look, and the Bible had said here in verse 31, they were in Ur of the Chaldees, go from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And then the days of Terah were 205. So what wound up happening is Abram, we need to find out how old Terah was when Abram was born. And we can find that out from Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. Because God said to Abram, get out of that country. As soon as his father Terah died, he said, come out of Haran. And verse 4 in chapter 12, God says, Abraham departed as the Lord spoke unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So Abram was 75 years old when his father Terah died. Because the same year Terah died, Abraham also went out of the land. So what's 205 minus 75? 130. So for Terah, the next number, Rebecca, we're going to have 130. And then Abraham was born when Terah was 130 years old. See how we got that? Now, we got to follow through the scriptures. It's not going to be as easy. We need to go elsewhere now to find how long these people lived. Because it's not as tight-knit in verse chapter 11 of Genesis. It was every verse went from one generation to the next to the next. But now we have Abraham, and there's a lot written about him. So now we have to go further in the Bible. How long did Abraham live until he had a son who would be the next generation marker? Because now God's dealing with the family, the chosen people, and he's starting to talk a lot about them. So now we're going to look, how long did Abraham live until he begat his son that was going to be the next generation marker? Let's go to Genesis 21, verse 5, and we'll read that. In Genesis 21, 5, we read, Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. So now we know Isaac, of course, was a direct son of Abraham. We know that from the scriptures and all the language in there, including this verse here. So how long did Abraham live until he had the next child that was going to be the generation marker for the future? 100. You're right, Joan. So the next number, Rebecca, is going to be 100 for Abraham. How long did Isaac live until he had his son that was going to be used as a generation marker? Let's go to Genesis 25 and find out. Isaac, in Genesis 25, verse 26, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bare them. So this is, again, direct. Remember the twins of Isaac and Rebecca here? Jacob's going to be the next generation marker. So how old was Isaac when he had Jacob? 60. You're right. So the next number, Rebecca, is going to be 60 for Jacob. Or, I'm sorry, for Isaac, for his generation. Now, as far as Jacob's concerned, we need to find out how long he lived until the next time clue is given in the Bible. Go to Genesis, all the way up to Genesis 47 now. And we're going to read in verse 1 about Joseph being in Egypt. Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and the flocks, their herds, all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they're in the land of Goshen. So you see, remember there was a great famine, and that's what caused Jacob to come down out of Canaan into Egypt. Let's look in the same chapter at verse 9. Jacob said unto Pharaoh. Now Jacob, the father of Joseph, is now here in Egypt. And he's speaking to Pharaoh, and he says, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. So Jacob he's lamenting the fact that he's only 130 and he's old, and his previous grandfathers had lived 250 years and even older. But He's saying that he lived 130 years until he came into Egypt. The huge time clue there is the fact that God's going to give us an exact time frame from the time they entered Egypt until they exited. So now we want to know how long Jacob, or how old he was, when he came into Egypt. And we know from his direct statement here is 130. So Rebecca, the next number is 130 to plug into the calculator, right? And that's how much time has passed till they're in Egypt. Well, the Exodus, how many years were the children of Israel, how many years were the children of Jacob in Egypt? Good, 430, and we know that. Let's prove that in Exodus 12, verse 40. Exodus 12, 40. We're getting this is fitting together perfectly because God doesn't leave any wiggle room in these years. As soon as that one person died, the next generation was born. And then when he gives these long time clues, we have exact dates given. In Exodus 12, verse 40, we read, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, and just to make sure we understand, even the selfsame day, it was the anniversary, exactly 430 years from the day that Jacob came into Egypt, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." So the next period of time is 430 that we're going to plug in there, Rebecca. And that's the Exodus, when that happened. Now, do we have great records that show when the Exodus was in modern history that we have today looking back? Not necessarily. So we can't stop there. We cannot say emphatically with, at least with science and archaeology, that we can date the year of the Exodus unequivocally with no questions asked. So we have to continue to build from the scriptures to a date when we can finally say it's locked solid with our calendar today. So we got to go to the next clue, and it's all the way up in 1 Kings. Because now we're just simply looking, how long of time passed from the time that the Israelites came out of Egypt with Moses until some other event that's marked in the Bible? Does God give us any more clues as far as the next time frame? He does in 1 Kings 6 in verse 1, thankfully. So we can pick it right up here in 1 Kings 6 verse 1, and we read there, "And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come up out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord." So the beginning of the building of the temple in Jerusalem by Solomon was started 480 years after the Exodus in the Red Sea. So now we have another time frame given, 480 years. So Rebecca, the next number we're going to plug in is 480. And now we're at what point in history? The starting of the temple. And it also, who noticed the clue in there about Solomon? How long had he been reigning when this date happened after 480 years? How? Four. He was already in his fourth year. He had 4 years of rulership under his belt when this started, when the temple was started in Jerusalem. We're not absolutely sure with history that we can point to that year, so we got to go one step further and find out what our last number. I said there's going to be 15 numbers that went from the flood all the way to the death of Solomon. We have one more to go, and that's going to be in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 42. 1 Kings 11, 42. And there we read, "And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years, and Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead." So now we have a time frame given of when Solomon died and when the kingdom of Israel was split under Rehoboam. How many years from the starting of the temple did Solomon live until he died? Good, you're paying attention, 36. Because he was already 4 years under his belt when the temple was started. He reigned 40 total, so there was 36 more. Rebecca, the last number we're going to plug in is 36 for Solomon's reign after the temple was begun. What kind of summation do you have now?
4059.
Good, 4,059 years passed from the flood all the way to Solomon's death. So it was easy to do. She did it. And again, she wasn't schooled before this. I sprung it on her right before we started. So she was able to do it very simply. And 4,059 years passed from the flood to Solomon's death. Now the big question is, when did Solomon die? When was that kingdom of Israel split? 931 B.C. And we know, here's three references I'm going to give you that we can point to. Now, again, you know, everything looking back in history, you got to go with the facts that we have today, and they're pretty solid. So we really feel confident that 931 B.C. was definitely the year Solomon died. And then we're going to go back to the two numbers Rebecca gave us so far in our study. I'm going to give you three quick ones. Edwin Thiel wrote the book, The Mysterious Numbers of the Hebrew Kings. He's got Solomon's death pegged at 931 B.C. Nelson's Encyclopedia Illustrated Encyclopedia of Bible Facts has 931 B.C. as the death of Solomon. And then the last one is that ties directly into our biblical calendar. Arthur Weigel was an Egyptian scholar in the history of Egypt. And Egyptians left the greatest records in history for us. They were meticulous in what they kept. And he wrote in a guide to the antiquities of Upper Egypt that Pharaoh Thutmose III was the one who died in the Red Sea, because he was the only pharaoh who did not have a tomb built for himself. And yet the pharaohs always had tombs prepared well in advance, all this ornate structure for when they would eventually die to preserve their bodies. And this Thutmose III was apparently the one pharaoh who had more buildings and structures than any other pharaoh before him. No doubt because he had the Hebrews as slaves to work for him. And yet he didn't build his own tomb. Why? He died unexpectedly in the Red Sea. When God crashed down on the whole army of Egypt, including Pharaoh, they all died. He's got that pegged at 1447 B.C., which is exactly the year we would have if 931 was the year of Solomon's death. That's exactly the year of the exodus from Egypt in 1447 B.C. So we have another lock-solid date that really hones this in for us. So, if that's the case, and look at Rebecca's two numbers she gave us. From the creation of Adam all the way to the flood was 6,023 years. From the flood all the way to Solomon's death was 4,059. If I add those two together, what do I get? 10,082 years. That, again, is the history of time from the creation of Adam till Solomon's death in 931 B.C. So 10,082 years transpired until Solomon died. If I go from 931 B.C. and add 10,082 in the B.C. realm, I'm at 11,013 B.C. when Adam was created. See how that works? It's pretty simple. It's arithmetic. There's no algebra, there's no calculus. It's simple arithmetic. 11,013 B.C. is the year of creation. Now, if I go from 11,013 B.C. with the 6,023, which was our first number of the 10 generations given, I land on 4990 B.C. as the year of the flood. What does that mean? Well, we talked about the end of the world, and when would that come? I'm just about out of time here, so we're going to have to really wrap this up quick. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, God talks about the end of time and men scoffing, it's not going to happen. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And he talks about Noah's day. In Noah's time, they were eating and drinking, and then suddenly the flood came and overflowed everybody. And then he says here, in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And yet he was just talking about Noah's flood. And yet he's talking about the end of time. The same chapter, the same few verses. Well, what's the clue that God gave Noah? In Genesis 7, verse 4, he said, Noah, in 7 days I will bring the flood, bring the animals into the ark. That's the clue he gave in Genesis 7, verse 4. So if the clue here in verse 8 of 2 Peter 3 of the end of time is a day is as 1,000 years, 7 days equals 7,000 years. So 7,000 years from 4990 B.C. going into our A.D. calendar, there's no year zero, so I subtract one when I go from 4990 to 2011. That gives me 7,000 exact years. That's why we talk about the year 2011 being the end of time, because it's exactly 7,000 years from the flood. And we know that because we proved earlier today that the flood happened in 4990 B.C., without question, if we look at the biblical calendar. So since that's the case, and I'll end on this note, that May 21, 2011 is the second month, the 17th day of the month of the biblical Hebrew calendar, and it's the same month and day that the flood came in Genesis 7, verse 11. If you look at that, I'll just read it real quick. In Genesis 7, 11, it reads, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened." So the flood started the 17th day of the second month, and the end of time, as we now know, with so many other clues, and this is another study all in itself, which maybe I'll do in a future time. It's exactly what May 21, 2011 is. Just like the floodwaters were on the earth for 150 days, which was 5 months, so too will the wrath of God in Revelation chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. The 5 months of terror on this earth will be an exact 5 months, which is 153 days, which lands on October 21st, 2011, as the date of the great eternal hellfire, that Gehenna fire, which will burn up the earth, the heavens, and all the people in one day. There will be no more. So there's a lot of other clues that prove the 2011 things from the dates that match up so incredibly. We have no time to do the rest of that today. I'll leave you with the thought that with the proof of the history of the Bible, that Adam was created in 11,013 B.C., the flood happened in 4990 B.C., Solomon died in 931 B.C., and we project 7,000 years from the flood to 2011 A.D., which is only 2 years from today, we can say that we have real solid evidence that the end of the world is just 2 short years away. And we should feel the terror and the urgency and the reality that it really is going to happen. And our lifestyle for the rest of the days we have on this earth should correspond to the urgency to get the message out and to make sure you are right with God, so that when that day comes, you will find yourself forgiven of your sins and eligible, therefore, for entrance into the new heaven and the new earth. Amen. Now, we really are, it's 11:18. I would love to take questions, but I think for the sake of the next study, we're going to have to let that go. If you want to see me afterwards privately, please come up. But let's take a break now for another 12, 15 minutes, and then we'll have our next study. Thanks for your attention today.